woman-owned small business that delivers innovative programs in adult education and business capacity building. Through Certified Impact, Joanne created Empowered to Lead, an online training program for political candidates, and she directs GovCon Strategy Group, helping companies sharpen their edge in government and corporate contracting through RFP response preparation, capability statement development, and certification management. Please join me in welcoming Joanne Tika.
Well, hello. It's very nice to meet the four of you. I've spoken to Jim already and Jennifer, and so it's nice to be able to talk about the resources that we have available at IEDC and to acquaint you with the programs for certification that you might want to consider for your business. So Jennifer, are you going to share the screen or do you want me to do that or how?
Nope. Okay. Give me just 1 second here.
Not a problem. What kind of businesses do you all have? Do you mind me asking, or do you have everyone on mute, Jennifer?
Everyone is on mute, but you guys can unmute yourself and go ahead and answer Joanne's question.
I'll start. I work with a title insurance company, a national company, but we do RFPs for different projects, both on the federal level, on the state level, and the local level. So I'm interested to hear, Joanne, your presentation on this.
Nice. We're not going to be focused totally on RFPs today. We're going to be talking about the first part of that, which is certification, but happy to have an offline chat on that with you too. So, Michelle?
How you doing? Good morning.
Good. Tell me about your business, just real quick.
I am a CPA, Certified mm-hmm. Public Accountant. I do taxes I have about 500 clients. And probably at least more than 50% of those clients that are business owners are women, actually.
Oh, wow.
I'm hoping this is going to be a good resource for me, not maybe partially for me, but I can pass along that information to a lot of my business owners.
Wonderful. That's really good to hear. I think, as I said, resources directed at women are really important. And a lot of people don't know about these programs. Jennifer Cook.
Good afternoon. I own Integrity Pay and it's a payment processing. So I do automated AR and collections. We automate it. Quick example, if you own QuickBooks or you use QuickBooks, I have a platform that goes in behind the scenes mm-hmm. and grabs your invoice, adds a link to pay to it. So it's ACH or credit card. It essentially saves the merchants the credit card fees so they don't have to pay them anymore. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. So we do that. And then we do invoicing. So that's what I do. Just help save companies a lot of money and get paid faster.
Nice. Yeah, that's great. And Nikki, if you could unmute and tell me what you do.
Hi, I'm Nikki Ngadi. I'm the director of membership here at Crossroads.
Oh, hi. I thought your name looked familiar. Okay.
Yep. So I'm here just to learn and educate and, you know, get all the resources that I can for our members.
Great. Thank you. And then Tamara, I think she's the last one, right?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, great. I'm on my phone and I can't see all my mute and unmute buttons. I have a life coaching business and I am a corporate meditation trainer. And so,
oh, nice.
And I am licensed.
Oh, you are?
Huh? I have a licensed business. So I'm not sure. I'm just here to learn more about, you know, what I could be doing, should be doing.
Wonderful. Okay. So all of you have businesses that really have some capacity for contracting in some way. And so that's why I wanted to ask and kind of start the discussion talking about these types of businesses, because Women's certification or minority or veteran certification is something that's applicable to a lot of businesses for partnering and for general capacity building, meaning that your business can expand and not just directly through you doing the work, but by partnering with other people that are looking for similar certifications to work with. So today I want to talk about the opportunities in the state of Indiana. Certification is kind of a big field. There are national certifications, state certifications, local, and federal certifications. So knowing which ones you want for your business, and even if certification is good for you, is something that we want to talk about today. So you can go on to the next slide, please. So today, again, we're going to be talking about small business certification, the types, the eligibility requirements, and the general requirements to become certified. Next, please. And you can go ahead and advance. We're going to start with the overview of small business certification. So the purpose and benefits of certification, I wanted to speak directly to this because a lot of people confuse certification with registration. So you can't just sign up to be a woman-owned business and have the same benefits as being certified as a woman-owned or a veteran-owned business. Certification is socioeconomically based for the most part. So there is some kind of an attribute that you have that would make you eligible for certification. That's why the women-owned, the minority-owned, the veteran-owned, but there are a lot of different types of certifications. So you're undergoing kind of an audit to make sure that your business meets all of the qualifications that are required. And if it does, then you are awarded the certification through the state of Indiana or whichever agency you go through. I think certification also serves to enhance your credibility. If people know that your business is actually audited for a certain attribute, it gives your brand credibility when you're bidding against other companies that are similar, or not even bidding, just putting yourself in the mix for companies that are looking for credible small businesses that can do the work that they're looking to have done. And also, certification is a component of business growth in that when you are certified and you're looking for opportunities, or people are looking for opportunities to work with you, that obviously does bring in the possibility of your business growing beyond what you can do by yourself. So next slide, please. So the types of businesses that are eligible. So businesses must meet certain criteria, and those are many times related to who the owner of the business is, who controls the business, and who manages the business. So for example, for a woman certification, you generally need to have ownership, control, and management of the company to even qualify or submit your application. Diverse industries are all welcome to be certified. You don't have to be in a specific service or product industry. Almost every business is eligible for certification as long as it meets the requirements of the program. And then the process, it is really crucial to become familiar with the process and to understand all of the documentation and the process in itself to make sure that you can comply with everything that's needed and respond in a regular period of time so that it keeps the process going. Next slide, please. So impact, again, on business growth. You might, with certification, and this happens many times with my clients, access to new markets. So you might be, for example, I think Michelle said that her business is made up of a lot of women business owners, and I don't know if that's local business opportunities or regional business opportunities or whatever it is. When you're a certified business, it does give you access to new markets that maybe you haven't considered, because there are some businesses or government agencies that are looking for certified business that are not represented in the pool of certified businesses. So knowing that you have this certification program and a supplier diversity in is a really important attribute of certification, and it helps you get your brand visibility out there, as opposed to just marketing your business on a local or even a regional level. Partnership opportunities also come up too. I'm not sure if all of you know, but on federal government opportunities, you can partner with larger companies in order to take advantage of a certification. If you're a woman-owned business, for example, you can partner with a larger business as a mentor and form a joint venture, for example, and you would be the lead on that company, and you would be able to bid for larger contracts. So this is contracting credibility and, again, visibility. And then, again, just leeching into the competing for contracts. When you have a certification, you are eligible on a federal, state, local, depending on the contract, to say, I want to bid for that set aside for 10% veteran-owned businesses, say, for example, or 5% woman-owned, in addition to being in the larger pool of people that can bid for all contracts. Next slide, please. Okay, the types of certification, and we'll go over some of these, and these are available in Indiana, but we're also going to be talking about all of the things that Indiana businesses can access, not just what Indiana businesses can give you. So if we can go to the next slide. So we have the Minority Business Enterprise, which is the MBE, and is specifically designed for businesses that are at least 51% minority owned and controlled. And a minority business in Indiana is considered to be Black American, Hispanic American, Asian Pacific heritage, American, Indigenous American, and I think that's it. But all of those are categories that allow you to apply for the Minority Business Enterprise certification in the state of Indiana. Next slide. The Women's Business Enterprise is kind of just what it is. It's a woman, 51% owned and operated. It's a really good program for empowerment of women entrepreneurs. I think women set-aside programs allow you to access opportunities with a small business that you would not be able to typically access if you don't have mentor and relationship already in place.
1 second, I think. That meeting was tomorrow.
Oh, I'm sorry. Kayla, I think that you're off.
Let me double check and make sure. Because on my calendar, it's the 11th.
Kayla, I think that we're hearing you. Thank you. So let's go to the next slide, please. And then the Veterans Business Enterprise. And the Veterans Business Enterprise certification is awarded through application. It's a little bit different application process because your service as a veteran kind of gives you a little bit of privilege in terms of how your business is viewed. But a veteran certification is something that is awarded to a company that is at least 51% owned, operated, and controlled by veterans. And again, for all three of these certifications, it is the visibility that you're seeking and the credential. It's not necessarily going to, you know, oh, hello, you're going to get a contract today. It is more a brandable visibility experience. Next slide, please. And then there are other national and federal certifications, and there is a whole list. I just listed some of them on here. But for the federal government, for example, there's the woman-owned small business. There is the economically disadvantaged woman-owned small business. There's a hub zone. There's an 8A. There's a veteran certification. And these are all federal certifications. So if you want to do work in the federal area, you might consider one of these. There are also national opportunities for certification for women-owned, veteran-owned, minority-owned, disabilities. Certain disabilities can have a certification. There's an LGBTQ plus certification and several others that are available. And then also state, local, international, and industry related. So, for example, the city of Indianapolis has its own certification. There are other cities in the state of Indiana, I believe Evansville, all of the airports have certifications that are available. So, I think with a certification strategy, knowing what you have available to you is trying to decide who your client is, what they are looking for from a certified business, and then getting that certification in order to make yourself more visible to them. Next slide, please.
Sorry.
So eligibility requirements, we're going to go over there. They kind of are similar across the board, but I just want to make sure that we discuss each type of the main three for Indiana. So next slide. For the minority business, I mentioned earlier, the business has to be at least 51% minority owned and controlled by an individual from a minority group. So if you have two or three minorities of different minority groups, that also qualifies. It's just 51% must be by minority. And just so everyone knows, if you are a minority and a veteran and a woman, you can get all three of them in Indiana. You're not limited to just one. Your proof of operations has to have documentation that your operations are controlled by you, and you have to have credentials for doing the work that you're wanting to get certified under. So what I'm saying is there are some companies, and I'm sure many of you know a company or two that does this, where a company is started by the owner, but the owner is not actively involved in the business. Or the owner doesn't necessarily have the credentials to do the work themselves. They actually hire out to do the rest of the work. Those are not the type of businesses that are typically easy to certify because the owner needs to have the expertise. Even if they don't do the work every day, they still need to have the capacity to understand the business. To run the operations and to hire the people that they need. And the only way that these certification agencies talk about that is like, if you don't have experience, then how do you know how to run the business? Again, the last one is financial stability. This is not necessarily profitability. You don't have to be a profitable business to get certification. But financial stability means that you have 2 years' experience at least in the business that you can show financial statements for. And that would be a requirement. And sometimes it's two, sometimes it's three, depending on the program. But it's company financial statements, tax returns filed. All of those things indicate that you are a financially stable company if you can produce all of those documents on a regular basis. So go ahead to the next slide, please. Same requirements basically for the woman-owned business where we have a 51% woman-owned. So you are talking about predominantly female control, must be operated and controlled by a woman or women, ensuring that they're making all of the key decisions and managing daily operations. And then business must include documentation that clearly shows ownership and management structure to obtain certification. Bringing up something that frequently comes up that is typically a problem for the woman-owned is when we have a husband and wife business, for example, and the husband is the primary technician, or he's the one that has the skill. The wife is the 51% owner, but she functions as an administrative or an office manager or something like that. Those businesses are typically very difficult to get certified. They're considered more family businesses. You still can have a woman-owned business with the wife being 51% and not knowing about the day-to-day execution of the business, but and it still can be a woman-owned business. It's a family business, a woman-owned. It just might not be a business that can be easily certified when it's a husband and a wife, and the husband is responsible for most of the work. And an example of a company that I've seen, many of them that have been declined, have been electrical contracting firms where the wife owns 51%, but the husband is the electrician. Plumbing contractor. There's a lot of different situations. So I would advise, if you're in that situation or if you're going to be advising clients in that situation, to really consider who is ownership control of the business and who can actually perform the work if something happens. Next slide, please. And then the veteran-owned, as I mentioned before, 51% veteran controlled. This could be between 1 to 10 veterans. The ownership structure is really what is comprises the 51%. Now, if that's a workable situation for you to have a lot of different owners, that's kind of a separate situation from certification. That's kind of a business decision. So veteran status needs to be verifiable. You need to have the form, your discharge documents from the service in order to submit and be eligible for a veteran certification. Next slide, please. And then the general requirements for becoming certified as a business owner. Just wanted to go over some of those, and then I'll be happy to take some questions for you from you or throw it back to Jim, actually. So next slide. So the documentation and the application process, it really depends on the certification that you're going for. Again, I mentioned that there are federal agencies that are private nonprofits that are national, and there is the state agency that grants certification. You would make your application to whichever certification program you want it to be considered for. And so the document submission requirements are similar in some ways, but some people actually ask for more information, others not as much. Usually there's a checklist and they'll tell you everything that you need to do for each program. And you just have to submit those documents along with whatever else they're asking for. Proof of citizenship is one of them. So you need to be a naturalized or a US citizen for the most part to be a certified business, especially through the state of Indiana and the federal government. Accurate documentation is another thing that's very important. Like, you can't give just like a half a tax return. It's got to be a filed tax return. A lot of times they're not going to get transcripts or anything, but they definitely want to see what the extent. And the reason for some of these documentations is when somebody gives you a certification, they're putting an audit stamp of approval on your business and saying that this business has been audited in some respects for all of the qualifications. So if they can't verify their qualifications in what you submit, then it's very difficult for them to award certification. And then again, proof of ownership. And the proof of ownership is going to be, if you're an LLC, you need to submit your documents from the state of Indiana. You're also going to submit your operating agreement that shows that you are the 51% owner. If there are any changes in the business from the time it was operated in terms of ownership until today, you're going to have to document those with buy-sell agreements, things like that. So it can get a little bit complex, but the process is pretty much document and administratively driven. So as long as you can get your documents in order, you're pretty good. Next slide. And then the proof of ownership and control, I did speak to that a little bit, but it's just clearly somebody should be able to look at your documents and say, okay, this business is 51% owned by a woman and she controls. So it's a matter of having the partnership agreements and the operating agreements. Next slide. And then the review and the approval. It is application submission, there's document reviews, and then granting of the certification once everything is in order. Generally speaking, it's a process that lasts about 30 to 60 days. It could last 90 days, depending on the accuracy of your documents. But I would recommend that if you're looking for support on this, the ISBDC and the IEDC, which I work for, Indiana Economic Development Corporation, we do provide free reviews of applications. And I do also do strategy consulting as to what type of certifications might match what you want to do with your business and where to get started. You are not limited to any one type of certification. You can have the federal, you can have the national, you can have the state or local. You can have all of those. Do you need all of them? Depends on what your business plan tells you that you need to do. Next slide, please. So I'm going to throw it back to Jim. And the next slide has my contact information on it, but happy to take any questions. That concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Joanne. I actually have a few questions.
Yes.
So if you were to give kind of a rough estimate on the time that one could expect in a certification process, what are we looking at with that?
Okay, so if we're looking, if your documents are pretty much in order, you could probably finish the certification application in a couple hours, honestly. Once it's submitted, 30 to 90 days before it's generally approved. It can be longer for the federal government. The feds do tend to take a little bit longer. They were at 9 months at one point last year. So, but it, generally speaking, the guidelines are 30 to 90 days.
And if a small business person were to apply for certification on, again, the local, state, federal level, are there any costs to that? Are there charges that those government entities charge for someone to submit certification application?
Okay, there are no costs for government certifications. So that would be any of the federal ones that I mentioned, which were the woman-owned small business, the economically disadvantaged, 8A, HUB zone. We can talk about those if anyone has questions on those. And then the state of Indiana ones have no fee as well. The ones that have an annual fee are the ones that are run by national organizations or nonprofits. So, for example, the woman-owned, which is through the Women's Business Enterprise National Corporation, that one has a fee for businesses that have under $1 million in annual revenue. The annual fee is $350. And that is an annual fee and an annual renewal. The National Veterans Certification is $600 a year. The National Minority is about $450. And those are net, usually on a sliding scale based on what your revenue is. So any government one has no cost, anything that's a nonprofit. And I'd like to mention here too that the private ones, which have the fee, are what corporations are typically looking for. So they are looking for the national woman-owned certification. Not that they wouldn't accept an Indiana one if they're a corporation that is in Indiana. But if you're looking for a national corporation to do business with them, they are typically looking for those national certifications. And so though that's why they charge for them, honestly, is because businesses want them. Anything that you do for the federal government is obviously free, but it's highly competitive. So there are a lot of, it's harder to get federal government contracts than it is to get private contracts or state contracts or local contracts.
And is there a are these certifications, let's say you obtain a certification, is it good for a particular amount of time? then you have to reapply, or how does that work typically?
Yes, they all have different renewal periods. The Indiana certifications, for the most part, are 3-year renewal periods. The federal ones are 3 to 5 year renewal periods. You might have to submit updated documents with them, like a affidavit saying all of the conditions of the business are still the same, but you don't have to do a reapplication process. For all of the private certifications that I mentioned, they typically ask for an affidavit. They ask for an updated tax return and, just a kind of a scope of any changes that have occurred in the company. But of course, then you're paying for those every year. So, it's a little bit different review process.
And then once a small business person, let's say, obtains a certification and they're actually awarded a project, right? Is there some type of, I don't know, like grading or tracking that's done on the performance of the work that's a result of that contract that for future potential contracts gives them, I don't say an upper hand, but keeps them kind of in the mix as a potential vendor or provider for those future projects? How does that work
There
going forward?
is for the federal side. The federal side does have tracking on contracts, and those are mostly for prime contractors, to be honest for you. The prime when you are work when you're a prime contractor, you are actually the one that has the contract with the entity. A subcontractor works for the prime contractor for the most part. And so it's up to the prime contractor to provide you with references for how you did working with them. But if you're a prime contractor, that information is tracked and available, not on the national side, but on the federal side.
Okay. Anyone have any other questions? I'll open it up to the group in general.
I don't have a question necessarily, but I do know how important it is because working when I worked in Chicagoland area and everywhere, there were some companies I couldn't even work with because I wasn't women-owned or minority-owned. Like,
Right.
no, it's important because they get, I believe, a tax break if they use business small, women-owned businesses and stuff. So I know it's super important.
They get su supplier diversity credit. This is for corporations, not so much for governments. But, for example, let me tell you how it works on the federal side. With the
Okay.
federal side, there's a requirement for companies to set aside contracts for woman-owned and small-owned, or else the prime will lose their ability to contract with the federal government. So if they're not complying with the federal access rules, then the prime is punished because they're not seeking diverse suppliers. Now, honestly, in the environments today, everything is shifting a little bit. So, the diversity programs and the certification programs that were available, the national ones will continue. Indiana's programs are actually statutes. So they're not just programs, they're actually laws that require that. So it's harder to change those, but to emphasize them is kind of a different situation. So some of what I'm telling you is based on today. Who knows what's going to be next week or, next month in terms of how certification is viewed and whether supplier diversity. I want to be clear though that like the difference between DEI and supplier diversity is that DEI is like a hiring thing for individuals as opposed to supplier diversity for businesses. And so there are many companies and governments that still support supplier diversity, and they are looking to enhance their supply chain. And part of the reason is because small businesses are more, they're more agile. They can respond more quickly. They can typically even change or customize a little bit of a product if they need to, where a large corporation can't do that very quickly. It takes a lot of layers to change. And so that's why these are desirable, because when you're looking, like, you don't want to do, it's terrible to do customized everything, because then you're spending most of your time customizing and not selling and whatever. So you need to have a specific program, or a slate of products or services that you offer that are kind of unalterable. However, you can still alter, like, the speed of the delivery or the minimums or the maximums or the pricing structure of those, depending on who you're working with. And that's the agility that these larger businesses are looking for when they're dealing with small businesses, especially diverse suppliers. Any
Thank
other
you.
questions? Anyone interested in getting certified?
Yes.
Yeah, call me. You see my information
Yeah,
on
I
there.
got it.
Yeah. So I'd love to see more women-owned businesses, but really businesses of all kinds, because certification is kind of like, it's a professional credential.
Right.
And, you know, while it's out there, it's really important to be able to apply it and use it.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Of course.
Awesome.
Thanks,
Julian.
Joanne. Great. Yep.
Yes. Someone else have a question?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Joanne, Jim, thank you so much for your time today. Joanne, you've given us so much information to learn about, and hopefully we'll have some members reach out to you, and work on these certifications. It's such an important thing. Next month, October 8th, we will have Kevin Kozak from Regional Federal Credit Union talk about business lending to small businesses. So stay tuned for that. And Joanne, if ever you'd like to join, you could just, it's always the second Wednesday of the month at 12 o'clock. Ask the expert for some small business ideas and things that we think are important to business owners. So feel
Thank
free to join
you.
us at any time.
Thank you. And I just wanted to really quickly put a plug in for our lunch and learns, which are every the second Tuesday of every month, and they're free. Yesterday we had two local business owners, and these are statewide, but we had two talk about small food manufacturing, so certifications and contracting opportunities, how to find co-packers, things like that. Next month we will be having small construction companies. That includes landscapers, you know, things like that. So those things are all free. We do them every month, the second Tuesday of each month. So all of you are welcome to sign in and join those, and you can share that information if you'd like. And I can send it to you, Jennifer, so you know about it, and you can share it with the group too.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds great. Well, thank you everybody for participating today and sharing your lunchtime with us. And again, thank you, Joanne and Jim, for your time. Jim, another wonderful job that you've done in moderating for us. Thank you so much. And hopefully we'll see everybody next month. Have a great rest of your day, everyone.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Nice
Thanks.
meeting all of you.
Thank you.